This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans: coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. You're listening to the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, 5 o'clock hour. Little Alison Krauss and Robert Plant here.
Yeah.
A great Lucinda Williams tune, actually.
Told you, baby, one more time. Don't make me sit all alone and cry when it's over. I know it, but I can't let go.
Oh, that's so good. I love the harmonies there. I love Alison Krauss. I've never seen this act. I've never seen Alison Krauss, and I love her so much.
Yeah, she's great.
Have you? You probably met her doing your country stuff back in the day.
No, I haven't. Isn't that? It's a shame, too.
That is unique. All right, we have, don't forget, a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow with the panel that will include former State Senator Jeff Smith and also GOP consultant David Barklage. Jane will be on the panel as well. We have Senator Schmidt coming up a little bit later this hour, plus an audio cut of the day. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, has been indicted, and he said today that he's not guilty.
It's an unfortunate day. And it's a painful day. But inside of all of that, it's a day where we will finally reveal why for 10 months I have gone through this. And I look forward to defending myself and defending the people of this city.
Yes, apparently it's all about the people of New York City. Phil Holloway, Fox News analyst, is with us this afternoon. How are you, Phil? Good afternoon.
Always good to be with you, my man. How's things?
Good. Before we get to the mayor of New York City, more important to the question is how are things by you? Because you're going to get a little bit maybe more rain than we are down in Atlanta, right?
Well, yeah, we're getting a lot of rain in Atlanta, but the big thing here is going to be the winds. They're expecting tropical force storm winds well into North Georgia and up in the mountains, even possibly hurricane force winds up there. And, you know, the big thing is going to be obviously flooding, a lot of it may be localized, but power outages. Power outages are going to be massive throughout the entire Southeast, and that's going to be the big headache probably for days to come down here.
Well, that could be disastrous. I mean, we've seen these things go on for weeks sometimes.
Yeah, I'm looking to make sure I see the green light on my generator as we speak, because you know it can be quite significant disruption when we don't have power for days on end.
Well, I mentioned Eric Adams. I played the audio. Here's one more here. He says that he's not going to step down. Even AOC is calling for him to step down. There he is. Where is Eric Adams? I thought I had him here.
I have been facing these lies for months since I began to speak out for all of you and their investigation started. Yet the city has continued to improve. Make no mistake. You elected me to lead this city, and lead it I will.
So, Phil, what I heard there is, hey, nothing to see here. Don't worry about anything. We'll deal with that. But the city is really what's most important here. And this does not look good for Eric Adams at all.
No, a couple things. It's going to be very difficult for the chief executive of a big city like that to effectively manage the city and also manage his criminal charges at the same time. It's not like Bob Menendez, Senator Menendez, for example, who obviously just has to maybe show up and vote or something, but he can still maybe stay in office. But this is going to be very difficult for him. You know, the devil is always in the details, and of course he's presumed innocent. There's a lot of things that sort of remain to be seen, but what I saw, well, one of the questions I had about this indictment, I got many, but one of the ones is like, if all they got is a Turkish, so a representative of Turkey got the mayor to help cut through some bureaucratic red tape, you know, there's not a whole lot. That's a kind of a big nothing burger. But if the feds dig deep enough, they can find a federal crime, you know, pretty much on any person at any time. And so when we talk about AOC and some on the very, very far left urging him in days, very recent days, to step down, you know, you got to ask yourself, is there a political motivation behind this prosecution? I think it's a fair question, because there's a lot of mayors, De Blasio, for example, I think could have been perhaps investigated, if not indicted, for some things. And so the question is, why this mayor and why now? He may very well have, you know, used straw donors to funnel illegal foreign cash into his campaign coffers. And if he's done that, presumably they'd be able to prove it. But, you know, there's so many questions here about the timing of this. And that's one of the things that really troubles me, is why is AOC and the far left apparently know about this well before we do?
Yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, some of this gets so far into the weeds because there's this issue involving Turkey and whether or not, as you indicated, there was influence to, build a facility in New York. There's this thing with Turkish Airlines. Look, he does an interview in 2017 with a Turkish newspaper. He says Turkish Airlines is my way of flying. And one of the things that the New York Times mentioned in the indictment is at one point he was coming back from France to New York City and he went to Turkey first. He went to Istanbul first before that. So he's a big fan of Turkish Airlines. The question is, did he take money from them in exchange for something that would have happened in his official office capacity?
Yeah, and so what was he doing in 2017? He certainly wasn't the mayor in 2017. And, you know, if we're talking about, see, I'm just not all that impressed with upgrades and things like that here and there. But the bigger problem that he has legally, in my view, is he got like $10 million, I think it was, in matching funds from the city when he ran for mayor. And if those funds were used to match straw donations that where he was allegedly, you know, funneling money from Turkish donors through other individuals who were recording what would have otherwise been, you know, a numerous other smaller donations, then that's going to be the kind of thing that there really is not going to be any good explanation for if the facts bear those things out. But, you know, if other people were doing it, you know, on his behalf, maybe without his knowledge, then maybe that's a defense to it. There's just so many questions out here. I hate to get too far out on a limb and talk about someone being guilty when we just don't know all the facts and circumstances.
Yeah.
But needless to say, the indictment looks bad.
Yeah, and I said earlier, look, in fairness, you said it here a few minutes ago, you do have to take a look at this through a different lens because there seemingly have been politically, you know, motivated prosecutions, seemingly on both sides. So I don't know what his defense is going to be. His attorney said some things earlier today.
If you just take a second and step back and look at this. Look at the flights. That's what they want to talk about, the travel, the expenses. The flight they talk about, that free flight, is in 2017. 7 years ago, 5 years before he's the mayor. There's nothing improper, illegal, or wrong about that.
You know, obviously, you know this as a former prosecutor. They try to cobble a case together, right? And some of this stuff goes back to 2014. So they're putting a lot of the pieces together, and I guess they're going to try to get to a point where, you know, usually, as you know, the feds' cases don't typically go to trial. Maybe sometimes, but they usually got you. They usually got the goods, Phil, right? So typically, people in situations like this plead out because they want lesser jail time.
Yeah, and the feds are usually ready for trial by the time they get that indictment because they run enough stuff up the flagpole. The jury's going to salute some of it at least, right? So that's sort of the way these things unfold, is maybe they start looking at one specific issue, and then in the process of doing that, they uncover other things, and then you've got this this indictment that has all these different octopus tentacles to it that, you know, he's got to escape all of them, because if even just one of them gets around him really good, he could be spending perhaps even the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting and fascinating to see unwind. Since I have you, let's talk a little bit about the state of the race, and in particular, your state of Georgia. We've seen some polling numbers come out of Georgia that indicate that Trump might not be in a favorable position. I've seen things kind of go in both directions in some states like yours and even in North Carolina. What's your take on what's happening in Georgia in particular right now with both campaigns?
Well, you know how my track record is with you with predictions on things.
Well, we both share that, know, yes.
I believe my sense is that the former president is going to take the state of Georgia pretty handily. Some things are showing like 1 or 2 or 3 points in his favor. I think it might even be more like 4, 5, or 6. But the big thing that I see is that I think Georgia is it's almost like the Democrats have sort of given up and conceded the state. I'm not seeing as many ads here. There was some travel in recent weeks, but I don't see any more on the books. The focus seems to be more north, up in North Carolina and even Pennsylvania. But I think Georgia's probably going the way of former President Trump this time around.
Yeah, well, those are good barometers, certainly, if the ads aren't flowing as freely as they were. I mean, the one thing that we noticed from up here, and you have a different scenario because you're in a state that really is more of a swing state, but all I see during football weekends, et cetera, is Kamala Harris ads. Glossy, glitzy, they look good. If you don't know anything about her, if you don't know she's an idiot, she may come off as presidential, right?
Yeah, those ads can be really, really slick, can't they? And each side, whether you agree with the politics on each side or not, it's fair to say that they both have, pretty sharp, I don't know what you call them, ad makers, going sort of on their side. You've got a lot of material. Both of these individuals have been in the public eye for many, many years, and so there's a lot of audio, there's a lot of video, and when you take it and you cut it up in certain ways and you splice it and dice it, you can make a pretty negative ad about either one of these candidates. And I think that the advertising department of the campaigns is certainly working in hyperdrive.
Phil, stay safe down there during this storm surge, the rain and the winds and everything. We want to make sure that everyone's safe, but thank you so much, and have a great weekend if you can with everything going on down there.
You bet. Thanks
so
much.
Yeah, bye-bye. Take care. That's Phil Holloway, Fox News contributor. He's always great to this show as well. Let me get a little bit more into the details of the charges. Damian Williams, the U.S. attorney.
He saw contributions from businessmen far in excess of what the law allowed. He also allegedly sought contributions from corporations, which are not allowed to contribute at all in New York City elections. A particular Turkish government official behind many of the benefits Adams sought and accepted gave Adams all these things to gain influence over him. We allege that Adams knew that and took the benefits anyway. We allege that when the Turkish government official needed him, Adams also took corrupt official action in exchange for some of the luxury travel benefits.
All right, it's 5-count indictment. Here's what we have. Count 1, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, solicit foreign contributions, and accept bribes. This is related to accusations that Eric Adams illegally accepted traveling gifts through the Turkish government, solicited the illegal foreign contributions into his campaign from Turkish businessmen, and improperly influenced the approval of, and I mentioned this, the Turkish consulate in New York City. When people were saying, no, you shouldn't do that, he was pushing it. Now, this is well before he was mayor. 1 count of wire fraud related to accusations that Adams fraudulently accepted public matching funds for his campaign by improperly certifying contributions that were made via what they say are straw donors, concealing the true sources of the donations. But they call that wire fraud. Count 3 is actually 2 counts. Solicitation of a contribution by a foreign national related to the accusations that Adams solicited and received improper campaign contributions through foreign citizens. And then there's a count of bribery related to accusations that Adams solicited free and heavily discounted foreign luxury travel in exchange for helping to obtain approval by fire department officials for the new Turkish consulate. You know, in the whole scheme of things, when you hear this and we're talking about a Turkish consulate, and this is what's going to force the guy out of being a mayor of New York City. It does sound kind of ridiculous, right?
What is with the Turkish guy? I mean, he's in a lot of this stuff.
Well, that's what a lot of this is focusing on because of Israel. Look, this started, and if you go to the, I don't know how many people out there have ever read one of these indictments or any grand jury testimony or anything like that. Maybe some people pulled it up in the aftermath of Mike Brown, but they get very specific. And in the charging documents, you might have names that are, you know, blacked out, et cetera, but they get very specific. So where they start here is in 2014, when he was the borough president in Brooklyn. And he says, or the U.S. attorney, the prosecutors say, for nearly a decade, he sought and accepted benefits like luxury international travel. Mm-hmm. And this is where you have at least one Turkish government official that was seeking to gain influence. They said by 2018, so it starts in 2014, this is the broad overview. By 2018, he had then made his plans known to run for mayor of New York City. So that's important. Not only accepted, but sought illegal campaign contributions to his mayoral campaign in 2021. As Adams' prominence and power grew, his foreign national benefactors sought to cash in on their corrupt business relationships with him. They say particularly in 2021, it became clear that Adams would become the mayor of New York. He agreed to provide favorable treatment in exchange for the illicit benefits he received. After his inauguration, he began preparing for his next election, including, they all do that, right? Including by planning to solicit more illegal contributions and granting requests from those who supported his mayoral campaign with such donations. So, you know, they go into all kinds of different details about who the straw donors are. They say that despite his repeated acceptance of straw donations, relying on the concealed nature of these illegal contributions to falsely portray his campaign as law-abiding, as a result of those false certifications, his campaign received more than $10 million in public funds. So that's a big number. So the accusation for Eric Adams is he accepted things worth $100,000. But in return for all this stuff and everything that the feds described, they say, look, he got $10 million in public funds.
Wow.
They say that he sought and received benefits from some of the co-conspirators, free or discounted travel on Turkey's national airline, which is Turkish Airline. That's owned in significant part by the Turkish government. And they say in the indictment, you know, it flies to France, China, Sri Lanka, India, Hungary, and Turkey itself. The Turkish officials further arranged for Adams and his companions to receive, among other things, free rooms at opulent hotels, free meals at high-end restaurants, free luxurious entertainment while in Turkey. Look, if you're a politician, you know all this stuff is not, whether it's legal or not. See, there's two questions here. Is it legal? Maybe. Is it ethical? Does it pass the smell test?
Right.
I can't tell you definitively, looking at this indictment, I have not, you know, digested the whole thing. They focus a lot on this Turkish consular building, which is 36 stories, and he was urging it to be approved when the fire department was saying, no, you know, this is not right.
Okay.
They wanted it approved, or he, I guess, requested that it was approved without a fire inspection because Turkey's president was coming. Yeah. At the time, the building would have failed an FDNY inspection. In exchange for free travel and other travel-related bribes in 21 and 22 arranged by the Turkish official, Adams did as instructed. Because of Adams' pressure on the FDNY official responsible for the assessment of the skyscraper's fire safety was told that he would lose his job if he failed to acquiesce. And after Adams intervened, the skyscraper opened as requested by the Turkish official. So this is very, very detailed. They go into a lot of specifics here, which is what indictments do. And his attorney says, nope, we didn't do it.
There are emails with Mayor Adams telling them, telling this staffer, telling all of them, do not take foreign money, period. That's in emails. You will see those. And so they pivot away from that. They pivot away from that and they say $10 million, fraud, $10 million, fraud. And they're doing that to mislead you. If you look closely at the indictment, you know how much money we're talking about from the people of Turkey? $26,000. That's what's actually in the indictment. No $10 million.
Okay, but I just explained why $10 million is an important number, because if you do illegal things in raising money and getting things put into your coffers, and then the benefit of those illegal things is an extra $10 million in taxpayer money, that would be something I would think that the Fed should look into. But look, I said it in the 3 o'clock hour. I'll continue to say it. I'll keep an open mind on this, because I don't think any of us trust what the feds are doing right now. And if it's some sort of convoluted, trumped up deal, maybe that'll be exposed. maybe it won't, and he'll go to prison for the rest of his life. But Eric Adams says he ain't stepping down.
I have been facing these lies for months since I began to speak out for all of you, and their investigation started. Yet the city has continued to improve. Make no mistake, you elected me to lead this city, and lead it, I will.
All right, defiant. AOC says he should step down. Other Democrats calling for him to step down. He's not going anywhere. They all say that, though, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? We're coming back. Senator Eric Schmidt is coming up next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, little Peter Wolf to bump in with here at 5:30. Big show tomorrow. We have Reardon Roundtable. Jeff Smith was with us earlier breaking down some of the Eric Adams stuff. He will be with us on the panel tomorrow. Also, GOP consultant David Barklage and our friend Jane Duker will be here. All the regular stuff on a Friday as well. Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. And we'll also have, we got something else going on. Oh, Dave Murray's going to be in the studio tomorrow. That's right. That's right. Senator Eric Schmidt is with us right now. How are you and where are you? You out in the swamp or are you here in Missouri?
I'm back. Back in the free state of Missouri. I got back about an hour ago. Had a slight delay on my flight back, but I'm back, brother.
You know, you say the free state of Missouri. I want to focus in on that because I become so proud of Missouri not getting into the nanny state nonsense that Illinois or some of these other states gets into. This is one of the things I love about our state, Eric. And, you know, I think the rest of the country has so many damn laws and bureaucracy and all this stuff. And you know, they make fun of us here in the flyover states. But a lot of us are pretty happy about that, I think.
You know, I love it. And it's interesting. So, like, a lot of people, like, you know, the time when I was AG and we were leading the lawsuits and Andrew Bailey's doing a good job, too. And I served with Josh. I think we're the youngest combo in the Senate. You know, people do see it nationally, actually. They see it. People say sometimes, what's going on in Missouri? You guys keep producing some folks. And I'm like, we're just representing, like, the people, right? And what's
yes.
But my job now, it's like Missourians have always been really kind of distrustful of a federal government 1,000 miles away telling them how to live their lives. And that's what this thing's all about, is pushing back and we want to be free, right? So
I tell this story sometimes. I wish I could remember. If I really thought about it, I think I would remember his name. Jim, there was a guy from Ashland, Missouri, who was a state rep. This goes back to the 1980s, right? And this was when I was first covering news. And I thought it was so weird that this guy, you know, because I covered his career, he never once in his entire tenure in the legislature, and I think he was there for, you know, 6 to 8 years or so, he never introduced one piece of legislation. And my young instincts at the time told me, what the hell is that guy doing up there if he's not, you know? And then I thought, and then I had, you know, an epiphany. I'm like, oh my God, we need more people like that that aren't trying to introduce law after law after law after law. And I had great appreciation for that, you know, after I started thinking about it and I matured a little bit.
Well, I think it's why, honestly, civics is so important. If you understand, you know, our founders spread out government, right? It dispersed it so that no one individual or branch of government ever got too powerful. And we're, you know, our federal government in particular is only granted limited powers. The states all agreed to a very limited authority that the federal government had. Now, of course, that's, you know, been expanded over the years to a point where it's sort of ridiculous. But I think if you understand that, if you've appreciated it, then yeah, there is a proper, we need restraint, right? We need people who aren't just out to give out a bunch of goodies all the time. And actually, like, for example, we're $35 trillion in debt. We pay $1 trillion in interest now every year, which is more than we spend on our military. We've got to address these things.
Okay, let's piggyback off that, because I had a conversation with someone the other day. There is a concern that some of us have that because of politics and the way that you don't want to give a primary opponent, you know, ammo to run against you in future elections. I'm not talking about you. You got 4 more years in this term. But there is an unwillingness on the part of a lot of people to have political courage when it comes to tough issues like the debt and deficit.
Well, I think, no, that's right. But let me just put it in perspective. So before the pandemic, we were spending about $4 trillion, okay, as a country. We're now spending $6 trillion. Biden wants to spend $7 trillion. We take in $5 trillion, right? That's just a few years ago. So, like, in some ways, people make this more complicated than it needs to be, right? You don't want to go after Social Security or Medicare, right? You don't have to do that. It's a lot of the new spending that's come on board that, like, cities and states are trying to scramble on this ARPA money. They're trying to find ways to spend it before the end of the year. Like, when you just dump $1.4 trillion worth of spending in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act and the American Recovery Act, guess what? That's why prices are so high. We flooded the economy with government money that people are still trying to spend. It's a lot of wasteful spending. So if you were just kind of good stewards of the money that we have, and if economy is growing, you could get a handle on this. We certainly wouldn't be deficit spending almost $2 trillion this year.
That's, you know, but wait a second. You know, it's all price gauging on the part of these American companies, right? That's what it is.
We need Soviet price controls. That's the answer, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yes, did you watch last night with Stephanie Ruhle? That was a hard-hitting run, right?
Yeah, it's painful. But this is who she is. And I was on with Laura Ingraham earlier this week, and I said, she's not flip-flopping. She's just lying. She's actually the person who believes in defunding the police, who doesn't believe in deportation, who believes in defunding ICE, who, you know, voted for all that spending. She's a California liberal. I mean, she really is. And now when you hear her talk, if she has any, you know, semblance of a complete sentence when she's articulating an idea, it's the opposite of that. And she's trying to fool people for, you know, for 40 days. And the media sort of wants her to get away with it because they have Trump derangement syndrome. But I think people are seeing through it. I think you're seeing that whatever bump she had, Mark, is dissipated. And you look at these battleground states now, they are super close. They are super close. But I think it's going to, for me, if you wanted to, like, look to one place, it probably comes down to Pennsylvania. And I just believe Trump's going to win Pennsylvania.
Well, you know, that it is going to probably come down to Pennsylvania. I was on with Phil Holloway here a few minutes ago. He feels like Georgia's looking pretty good. He's seen them, you know, pull out of some of the media markets, et cetera. So it's going to be interesting. Have you been, you know, we've established that you've been pretty close, become very tight with J.D. Vance. Have you been with him campaigning lately? And what are your thoughts on the vice presidential debate?
So J.D.'s going to do great. He's an authentic guy that's going to come across. He's super smart. I think he's going to do very, very well in that debate. That's a good form for him. I don't know. I've not seen Tim Walz debate, but I got to believe at some point J.D.'s probably going to bring up the fact that this guy was like an OG COVID tyrant. I mean, he was like, you could come out of your house up there, and the riots were happening under his watch. Kamala Harris was establishing this bail fund. I mean, they're very much tied together on that craziness in 2020, but he'll do well. But no, so we're done. So we're not back in Washington until after the election. And so going to be in October. Yeah, I'll be on the trail in October helping other Senate candidates. I'll be with President Trump at some point, JD at some point. So that'll be my October, because there's a lot on the line, not just the presidential race, but we got to get take control of the Senate back. And these judges that they're pushing through right now, Mark, I mean, these are just not, they're not even qualified people. They're just, they're activists. And I can't imagine who they'd be picking 3.5 years from now.
Well, look, Senate control is so important. I keep talking about it, and I think it's trending quite well right now because John Tester certainly is in trouble in Montana.
Yep. So it's 50-50 when we win West Virginia. I think we're going to win Montana. Trump's going to win Montana by 20 points. The number of ticket splitters between president and Senate, in 2008, it was around 10% of people split their ticket. That number now is less than 2%. It's like 1.6% will split their ticket. So when President Trump wins Montana by that margin, John Tester's been around a while, but I think sort of like Claire McCaskill a few years ago, just kind of outlived where the state is, an election cycle longer than probably should have. But anyway, I think we're going to win Montana. I think we're going to win Ohio. So to me, 52 is the floor. And then you've got Nevada, you got Arizona. Keep your eye on Wisconsin. Eric Hovde's doing very well. There's a resource challenge there. If we get enough money to Wisconsin, we can win Wisconsin. Who knows with Michigan? And then Pennsylvania, Dave McCormick's a good candidate. And all these candidates, Mark, regardless of what people want you to believe, Trump is leading, right? And if they get that gap close enough to where he's at, so Trump wins by one, or he wins by two, or he wins by 2.5, that can make the difference in those races where the Senate races are that tight too.
Hey, did you pay? I'm going to kind of wind this together. I don't know if you looked at the Eric Adams indictment today. It doesn't look good for Mary Adams, but we all had questions about the Justice Department being a little bit too motivated here by politics. But you've recently sent a letter to Merrick Garland, haven't you?
Yeah, look, this lawsuit against President Trump, it backfired on him because the cases were all falling apart, and President Trump became more and more popular when people saw how political this was. So they kind of backed away a little bit. But Jack Smith is one of the most overly aggressive prosecutors in the country. There's a reason why he was picked to go after President Trump. And so now, even though, and we sent a letter to Merrick Garland, this is totally inappropriate, even though a federal judge said he was unconstitutionally appointed as special counsel, Jack Smith added again, he's coming out with new briefings in the case that he's got, and it is totally inappropriate. And by the way, it's 40 days out from the election. One thing I can tell you, the Justice Department, main justice, when there's a political consideration, so like no matter who it is, state, local, federal, the Justice Department doesn't bring these cases, and they don't highlight these cases close to elections. They wait till afterwards. So even though a U.S. attorney in some jurisdiction might want to, main justice says no. But all those rules are out the window for President Trump. All of them are out the window, and Jack Smith is now trying to resurrect this again. And so we've got a letter to Merrick Garland calling him out. I mean, he's basically like a rabid dog with a bone here, and he needs to be leashed.
I feel like Merrick Garland's like almost taking as many naps as Joe Biden. You know, that's the way he kind of comes off. One more topic here. There are 100,000 college students across this country who have ties to the Chinese Communist Party, and you're trying to do something about that?
Yes. Yeah. So I filed legislation. I mean, look, China is our chief adversary. They're serious. They're in space. They've got concentration camps. They're a brutal dictatorial regime. They've restricted adoptions for Americans now. So I don't know why in the world we would have educate family members of the Chinese Communist Party here in our country. So I have legislation that would deny visas if their family member is a member of the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, it just makes a lot of sense. It would open up 100,000 slots for Americans. All we do is educate them. They go back and use that knowledge and go steal our IP from companies and use that stuff against us. So I just think
it's outrageous.
That we're kind of in this place now.
Yep. You should do something about it. Absolutely. The other big story of the week, and I feel like some of this because things move so quickly with the news cycle. We've got a hurricane that's moving its way through Florida right now. But this information that was reached in a bipartisan fashion by the Senate Committee on the Secret Service is unbelievable, what we found out about Butler. And both
shocking.
The Democrats and the Republicans on that panel said, look, something's got to change. And if you read the details, it is shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, there should be no daylight between Republicans and Democrats here. Listen, we're all Americans. And this idea of the political violence, that we're this close to having, you know, a presidential candidate, former president, assassinated twice in, you know, in 8 weeks is nuts. And I'll tell you, so the people, there's a lot of important information here. There's got to be some changes. There's got to be some accountability. But the people that tell you that President Trump now has the same level of protection as Joe Biden or Kamala Harris is not true. He's got more Secret Service protection, people on the ground, but there are defensive assets, things that intercept drones. There's some other technology that they're still denying President Trump. I mean, this is the Iranians are on record. They're trying to assassinate President Trump. A foreign country is trying to kill President Trump on our soil. You don't hear anything from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on this. No, and the media doesn't report it either.
That's probably the most undercovered story of the year, honestly. Iran's, yeah, it really is, because it almost seems, you know, somebody said this last week. They texted me and said, and I mentioned this the other day, and there's something to this. It's almost like, you know, Trump, you just indicated, Trump's been attempted to be assassinated twice, and it's almost like after that second attempt, nobody even cared, right? Everybody kind of moved on. It's just what happens, right?
And let me tell you how close that is, Mark. This guy who was set up for hours just outside the fence. On the par three, so he's one hole away. The next hole is a par three. He's got a GoPro camera on, about ready to live stream the assassination of President Trump. And if he doesn't stick that barrel, through the chain link fence, they don't see it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine what would happen in this country? It's just it's terrifying. But these are systemic failures that need to be addressed.
Well, enjoy your time here in Missouri before the election, and then we'll certainly hook up here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll catch up. We'll catch up, and then whenever, like, you know, if I'm on the road or something in another state, we'll check in and give everybody a sense of what that's like out there.
Hey, you know what we can do, you and I, because we used to do this? We can go to the Cardinals game. Oh, wait a second. We can't do that. In October, we can't.
Soon.
Yeah, we'll save that for another day. Thank you, Eric. We'll see you.
All right, Mark.
All right, we'll see you. Take care. Audio cut of the day is coming up. You know, I just looked at my email, my personal email, and I'm sure you get this. A lot of people do, too. You get the updates from your utility company. So Ameren just sends me a notification. Yeah. You've spent this much money on energy this month. And I am shocked at how high it is, because the bill was pretty similar from the previous month, which was hotter, and we've had milder temperatures. So the cost of this energy is outrageous.
Budget billing!
Okay, I've explained my whole position on that. It does say down $36 from the previous period.
Oh, well, that's good. But
goodness.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it breaks it down here, too. It says cooling is 134. The always on is 88. That's like, what, your refrigerator? And
yeah.
It doesn't even include lighting, but there's things that are always on. I need to be more careful, I think, is what the truth of the matter is. What was I going to say, Sue? I got distracted. Oh, I know what it was. Thank you. I get distracted easily, right?
I understand.
So... last night I was out at the factory, which that is a great place. Have you been there yet? It's it's really great venue. I mean, St. Louis should be proud. Both bands that I saw last night, Toe the Wet Sprocket and Bare Naked Ladies, both said something about how awesome the venue was. And it's really cool. But I was talking to my friend John last night about What is a Racist, which is the new Matt Walsh movie. And it's interesting because I don't know if you remember the story. I did this, and I'm guessing... Well, maybe I did do it here on 97.1, but it goes back a few years where there was this safe space for BIPOC people at the University of Arizona. Might have been Arizona State, okay? And there were these two white kids that were in there just kind of minding their own business. And these two BIPOC chicks, who were black, started harassing them, saying, "You can't be in here. This is for people of color."
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt Walsh, who does this movie, you know, Am I Racist, which is in the theaters, and you can get it on the Daily Wire website. One of the people, I thought this was interesting, they're releasing more clips. One of the people that he sat down with was this girl from all that. And I played that audio years ago.
Oh,
I guarantee you it was audio cut of the day, because she was just bullying these white kids, saying, and then the other thing that I remember, and you're going to hear some of this surface now, is she basically said something. I should have, this is an error on my part. I should have pulled up the original audio because it would have been better here, but I didn't think of it. But she talked about white culture, and she's like, "Well, what is white culture?" She just bet. And we are not, by the way, if you're white, I just want to make it clear, if it's not clear already, and it should be, you're not allowed to have your own culture, okay, in the United States of America. If you're white, you should be damned. And she's going to basically explain that right here. Matt Walsh gets this girl to sit down for an interview.
Is racism inherent to whiteness?
I would say so. I would say that we need to abolish whiteness. It's always been rooted in othering the other people who don't fit into whiteness. But when we look at white culture, the only thing about white culture is buying things and stealing things.
How do I confront my shadow? My shadow self.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the parts of you that are racist and then being able to unpack and unlearn those.
I want to abolish whiteism too, or whatever she called it. It's just, it's unbelievable, which makes this movie so brilliant. And I want to see it because Matt Walsh does a great job. He's the same guy that did Am I a Woman, which was brilliant from a couple of years ago. One more bite. I do have something for audio cut of the day, but I love this because this is something else that, you know, we sort of highlight all the time. I want to take you back to, let me get the right date here. This is Al Gore in 2007. Oh, 2007, December 2007, he does his speech to accept the Nobel Prize, you know, because he's the climate guy, right? So here's what he says.
Last September 21st, as the northern hemisphere tilted away from the sun, scientists reported with unprecedented alarm that the North Polar ice cap is, in their words, falling off a cliff. One study estimated that it could be completely gone during summer in less than 22 years. Another new study to be presented by U.S. Navy researchers later this week warns it could happen in as little as 7 years. 7 years from now.
Well, in fairness, we're not quite 22 years away. We're just 20 years away from that speech. But, well, I guess we're a little less than that, 2007. But here's the deal. As of September in 2024, the Arctic had actually 26% more ice than when Al Gore did that speech. How about that? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear a lot of predictions. I'm going to use that as cut of the day because I'm going to run out of time. That's my cut of the day. You're going to hear a lot of things in the next couple of days about climate change causing this hurricane in Florida. Do not believe it. Remember that the same people that are going to tell you that predicted in May that this would be the most active Atlantic hurricane season in history. The most active. Even with this hurricane, which is Category 3, could be Category 4. I'm not trying to minimize the danger of this hurricane. But even with this hurricane, Hurricane Helene, they still will have the least active hurricane season in recorded history. So kind of think about that just a little bit. The experts said, like Al Gore, the ice is going to be gone. We got 26% more ice, right, in the last 15 years. The experts said worst hurricane season. It's all you SUV, you know, pollutant people that are causing the planet to go away or whatever. No, least active in history. History. They can't get it right. We'll see you tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.